Today's reading can be found on page 1183. It's in the Church Bible. It's from Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 to 23. So that's page 1183, Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 to 23. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They're puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They've lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. This is the word of God.
Good morning, everybody. We've been busy lately, haven't we? What with Hope Week last week, also wedding yesterday, and I know that a lot of you have really put in a lot of effort and a lot of hours. So I just want to say, this has nothing to do with the sermon, but I just want to say thank you. The Lord sees every single one of those deeds done in his name, and he's so, so pleased. If you're feeling a bit tired this morning, that's okay. I'm praying that the Lord keeps you going and that what we hear from his word today will be a real blessing to you. Now, Colossians 2, 16 to 23. A standard ingredient of any coming-of-age high school drama is the cafeteria scene. It's a moment that many of us can relate to. A timid new student has survived the morning classes, but now he has to cope with lunchtime. He clutches to the straps of his backpack tightly and steps through the cafeteria doors. But where to sit? With the drama clique, with the geeks, with the popular kids, with the athletes? He walks hopefully up to each table, but he's met with judgmental stares and the silent message, "You don't really fit in here, do you?" It's a sad scene. And of course, the temptation for that teenager is to try and act like one of those groups in order to find a place, in order to fit in order to feel like he belongs. Of course, most of us here aren't navigating those cafeterias anymore, but that experience of trying to fit in, or the experience of feeling inadequate or like we don't belong, that can very much be part of the Christian life. Maybe you felt it. Maybe you've walked into a church culture and felt the unspoken pressure to fit in, to pray in a certain way, or to live out your faith in a certain way, or to speak in a certain way. And if you don't, you risk feeling spiritually like immature, like you don't really belong. It can feel like there are elite tables in the Christian world that we just don't get a seat at. And that's exactly what the young Colossians here in this letter were starting to feel. The false teachers there had an in-crowd mentality. They thought that they were the elite. They believed that they were the truly mature Christians, and they looked down on anyone that didn't follow them and their ways. Judgmental stares. You don't fit in here. You don't belong. So the true believers were tempted to try and follow what those false teachers were doing, just so they could gain a seat at their table. In doing so, they were being drawn to a false version of Christian maturity, let's call it. And that kind of judgmental in-crowd mentality is such a threat to our growth as Christians. So through Paul, the Holy Spirit wants to reassure us this morning, don't let them judge you. Don't let them disqualify you. Don't submit to their rules. These people are not the elite. This is not what mature Christianity looks like. So look with me at verses 16 to 23. And in these verses, we're going to see kind of two versions of false Christian maturity. Technically, they come from the same group of people. But for simplicity's sake, here are two tables that you really don't want to gain a seat at. The first table you don't need a seat at is the table of Christless tradition. Have a look with me at verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. All those things just listed were given by God to Old Testament Israel. Regulations about eating and drinking are found in Leviticus 11. Religious festivals, Leviticus 23. New moon celebrations, Numbers 10. Sabbath day, obviously part of the Ten Commandments. So all those things in that list are good things. But the way that the false teachers were putting the spotlight on these commands amounted to nothing more than Christless tradition. Because their version of maturity focused on shadows rather than the reality. If you see in verse 17, all those regulations about food celebrations and Sabbaths were meant to be shadows pointing forward to the reality of the coming of Christ. So remember that statue that we've mentioned quite a few times? You can see it on the screen. Christ the Redeemer towering over the city of Rio, which lies beneath in his shadow. Well, the real Christ is so great that he casts shadows all the way back into the past, where there are commands, stories, and promises that all point forward to his coming as the greater reality. They're all kind of outlines of what his coming would be like. So imagine that you're going to meet up with a friend for a catch-up, and you take a seat outside Chai in the sunshine. But that friend doesn't look you in the eye. Instead, what they do is they crouch down on the floor and trace the outline of your shadow. That's pretty weird, isn't it? That's going to be a very short catch-up. These false teachers were nothing more than shadow tracers. All they had were shadowy, Christless traditions. They were so busy tracing shadows that they couldn't see the Savior who was stood right in front of them. That's the problem with this table. The problem is not tradition. The problem is Christless tradition. Traditions, liturgies, and habits that focus on Christ can be very, very good things. But according to verse 19, these false teachers had lost connection with Christ, the only true source of growth. They turned the spotlight off of him and onto their traditions. That is not how to grow. This has nothing to do with Christian maturity. So, you really do not want a seat at the shadow tracing table of Christless tradition. Don't let them judge you. Don't let them disqualify you. Don't submit to their rules. Here's a question for us. Are there ways that we might find ourselves trying to gain a seat at this table? Don't know about you, but we probably don't find ourselves too tempted to keep the Old Testament festivals or food laws. But we might feel pressure to conform to a certain style of Christianity full of ritual and routine. Maybe you felt judged because you don't dress a certain way at church, or because your worship style or devotional habits don't look like someone else's. Maybe you've been made to feel second rate because of your approach to parenting or your views on schooling or your Bible knowledge that you have or don't have yet. Sometimes even things that are good, quiet times, church traditions, patterns of service, they can become nothing more than worldly human traditions if they're detached from Christ. When they become the things that we focus on instead of Jesus, when they become the things that make us feel kind of spiritually superior, that's a big problem. So if you ever feel looked down on for not fitting into some proper version of Christianity, remember this. If it's not centered on Christ, it's nothing more than shadow tracing. Don't sit at that table. Don't put the focus on worship style or language or parenting or Bible knowledge or anything else. Don't let them judge you. Don't let them disqualify you. Don't submit to their rules. You have something far better than shadows. You have the Savior. So that's the first false version of Christian maturity, Christless tradition. But through Paul, God also diagnoses another table that was luring the Colossians. And this one was more mystical, more emotional. Again, same group of people. I'm just separating it for simplicity's sake. The second table you don't want to seat at is the table of Christless spirituality. Verse 18 says, "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you." There's a few interesting phrases there. This doesn't mean that the false teachers had stopped worshipping God and were instead worshipping angels. That would have been really very obviously anti-Christian. Rather, they were claiming to have experienced extraordinary times of heavenly, angelic worship. Worship with angels, not worship of angels in that sense. A kind of mystical elite experience. And in order to access those heavenly experiences of worship, they went through a process of false humility. I think they would have called it humility. But it was actually just harsh self-denial. Fasting, mistreating their bodies, sleep deprivation, following lots of rules like you see in verse 21. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. They thought this suffering would unlock special spiritual experiences. I think if they were around today, they'd probably be posting motivational YouTube videos about getting up at 2 a.m. to practice mindfulness and do a workout. And they would just go on and on about these experiences. You might imagine them cornering a new Christian in Colossae and saying something like this: "Oh, you've never seen anything like it. I didn't eat all day. I was in agony. And then at 2 a.m., it finally happened. Oh, I saw heaven. The wall shook, and you really experienced nothing that compares to it." They just go on and on and on. And how would those sorts of experiences impact a new Christian? Would they? They're not going to have had an experience like that. Does this mean they don't fit in yet? Does this mean they need to put all their energy into chasing that sort of experience? But Paul pulls back the curtain on their boasting. It's nothing more than idle notions, worthless fantasies, the product of an unspiritual mind. Instead of delighting in Christ, they're delighting in experience. Again, from verse 19, these people have lost connection with Christ. So to clarify again, that is the issue. It's not the experience itself that's the problem. Not the discipline, not the tears or the longing. There's nothing wrong with being moved to worship. Nothing wrong with being overcome by the beauty of Christ. Those are all good things. The problem is when the experience becomes the goal, the focus, the marker of spiritual status. When we want the feeling more than we want him, when we delight in the moment rather than delighting in the Messiah, that is the problem. So, new Colossian believers, don't let those people judge you. Don't let those people disqualify you. Don't submit to their rules. You have no reason to feel inadequate compared to them. Christless spirituality is not a table you want to seat at. This isn't just an ancient problem. The spotlight often still falls on spiritual experience today. Three examples. Think of spiritual gifts. I heard recently of someone who grew up here in this church, but later on moved to a different church. And there they were told that they weren't a real Christian because they hadn't spoken in tongues yet. That new church was judging him, disqualifying him over nothing more than experience. It wasn't a gospel issue at all. That church had spotlight on gifts rather than on Christ. That's exactly the same evil error that the false teachers here were making. Another example of putting the spotlight on spiritual experiences today, think of testimonies. I'm sure we've all spoken to someone who tells impressive experiences about their faith, and then Jesus is sort of nothing more than a footnote. They might say things like, I was caught up in worship for hours, I had a vision, I felt God speak to me so clearly, I've seen so many miracles. Now, that speaker might not be trying to belittle you, but you're left feeling completely inadequate, like you could never belong at their table of elite Christian maturity. Or think of worship services. It's easy to look at polished mega churches and think, that's what we need here. Maybe we need to ditch all the old songs with long words. Maybe we need louder music, more professionalism, and a more dynamic speaker. And why? So that people will leave this place saying, wow, the worship at that church is amazing. Now, there's nothing wrong with an engaging Sunday service. There's nothing wrong with excellent music, passionate prayer, or powerful preaching. Those can be great gifts, but they must never become our focus. They're not our greatest need. Their value lies in how they help us to see Jesus more clearly. Whatever the style of our gathered worship, our aim is that people would walk away saying, wow, our God is good, not wow, the worship was good. If our worship helps us to see the awesome beauty of Christ, that is all we need. And we don't need to feel pressure to become like that slick professional church that you might have in your head. None of us need to church hop in order to chase that either. Focusing on experiences leaves us detached from Christ, and you'll never grow when that happens. So, you really don't want a seat at the table of Christless spirituality. For whatever reason, as we wrap this up, sometimes we feel spiritually inferior or condemned. But Christless tradition and Christless spirituality won't help you grow. So don't bother trying to find a seat at those tables. What will stop us feeling condemned and disqualified by comparison? Knowing that you're in Christ. In Christ, you will never be judged and condemned. That great long list of sins that would condemn you has already been nailed to his cross. In the words of the hymn, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul. You're not condemned if you're in Christ. And if you're in Christ, how could anyone disqualify you? We read back in chapter 1, giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. I mean, if God has qualified you, I mean, what does it matter if anyone else thinks? If you're in Christ, you're not condemned. If you're in Christ, you are not disqualified. In that chaotic, clique-filled cafeteria of life, you have a seat at Christ's table. There is no more elite, privileged position than that. Stay there. Don't get sidetracked by Christless tradition, Christless spirituality. Because Christ's table is the only one where true growth happens. Verse 19 again. Speaking of the false teachers, but with wonderful implications for us. They have lost connection with the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Real growth doesn't come from rules and spiritual fireworks. It doesn't come from ticking boxes or chasing experiences. It comes from staying connected to Christ. It comes from knowing him more deeply, depending on him more fully, hearing his word with an open heart, being shaped by his spirit day by day, and being built up together among his church. That's where God causes true growth to happen. Not the hype, but the slow, steady, beautiful work of walking with Jesus. By the way, this is really good news if you want to become a Christian for the first time. It means you don't need to tick off a list of boxes, rules, and routines. It means you don't need to find some great spiritual experience or high. All you need to do is just ask Jesus if you can have a seat at his table. He will welcome you. He will forgive you of your sin. He will lead you as your king. I'm going to ask us to pause as the band comes up. Reflect on what we've heard, whether there are areas in your life where you're feeling judged, belittled, disqualified, spiritually inferior, and just bring them to Jesus. Band, if you come up, have a moment to reflect, and then I'll pray before our final songs. Thank you so much, Father, that real growth happens when we're connected to Christ. Please help us to cling onto him. Father, where there are distractions, where there are other things that take our focus away, please reveal those to us right now. And please help them to drop them at your feet so that we may hold more tightly onto our Savior. Thank you that he is so, so good. Thank you that he is so, so worthy of our worship, our focus, our delight. Please help us to forget everything else. In Jesus' name, amen.